Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best. Hello, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I am thrilled to be here today. I am thrilled that you are here today. What else is new? It's all thrilling because we're here to better our lives in the most efficient and effective way possible with better habits, mindset shifts, and learning from badass people just like today's guest. So thrilled that you're here. So much gratitude. And if you haven't given your gratitude today, maybe just think of something right now that you're grateful for. Why not? I'm just grateful to be sitting here and about to have this conversation and like the magic of freaking remote interviews. It's really an amazing world that we live in right now, and we take it for granted. So thank you for all this podcasting magic that happens. All right, that said, let's get to today's guest. I am so excited to introduce you to Bridget Hilton. Bridget is the co-author with Joe Huff of Experiential Billionaire, which I happen to have right here in my hand, and the founder of Listen Sound Co., which helps provide listening and hearing solutions for people. Probably didn't say that right at all, but that's essentially what you do. And I, as somebody in this space and shouting out podcasting right now, that's very dear to my heart too. And I love that you do that. You are also the creator of the card, co-creator of the card deck Treasure Maps, which I happen to have as well. And it is exercises to find and rediscover your dreams. So Bridget, welcome. I'm so happy you could make time today.
Well, thank you so much. I honestly wish I was there with you guys hanging out in Austin, but I'll take it.
Well, come down. We'll do it again. Absolutely. Okay, maybe Joe can come too.
Yeah, that would be fun. Next time for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Because I met you through my boyfriend, Justin Wren. And so I'm so happy to connect with you. He actually bought me your deck as a gift. And I've really enjoyed looking through it and the exercises that you have. But I do want to talk about Experiential Billionaire, because just the title right there, like, can we tell everybody how wealthy they are? I mean, did you look around and go like, oh my God, we're so much richer than we give ourselves credit for? Because the subtitle is Build a Life Rich in Experiences and Die with No Regrets. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole thing is about, is just like teaching people and giving people the tools to become rich in life experiences, because that's really all that matters in life is what you do and how you spend your time. And the name is like, it comes from this whole other story that I can tell you. But the name is funny because it's been kind of an inside joke with me and my co-author Joe for like almost 10 years.
So. And y'all are just old friends, right?
Like, yeah, we've known each other since 2012. So it's been 11 years now, and we're just, you know, the best of friends and partners. I love it. It's great.
That's so cool that you guys have that. Because do you live in the same city? You guys?
We both live in LA.
Okay.
When we first met, we both lived in Studio City. And now we live like kind of further. He lives in Playa Vista and I live in Malibu, but we still see each other like all the time. So.
Okay. Well, so how did the title come about? I don't know the story.
Sure. So I guess I could go into like a deeper backstory to like get to that point if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah.
I won't go too deep into it, but
I like deep. Go as deep as you want. I'm here for it.
So I'll go all the way back. So I grew up
Okay.
in Flint, Michigan, which is like, a town of hardworking blue collar people. Like my whole family works for the auto industry. It's, famous for not so positive things like a water crisis and
Michael
like
Moore definitely put it on the map, right? So, yeah.
I would say that I want to be like the most famous person from Flint, but I don't think I'll ever be like more famous than Michael Moore.
Right. Never
But
know.
yeah,
You never know.
Hopefully I can be more of a positive force than his movies are pretty negative. But anyway, so so when I was growing up, I fell in love with music as like kind of this safe space and like this way to kind of escape from, all the negativity and like the things that were happening like in my youth, and it was kind of just like, my best friend. It was like music, and I just loved it so much. And so as a kid, I had this like big dream. I was like, I want to work in the music industry, or I want to be like a rock star. Yeah, it's like a lot of kids do want to be like a rock star. But so I spent all my time like trying to figure out how to do this, because obviously I didn't have like anyone in my life that was doing something like this, because my whole family works
Right,
in the
right.
industry. Like no one I knew. It's not like LA or New York or even like Austin, where like people that work in music and in entertainment. So I started when I was like 14. I started doing all these like really kind of crappy jobs that, a lot of people have done to get to where they are. But I started doing things like picking up trash at like concert venues and festivals, and like I was getting paid like $5 an hour. And so like instead of going to these things that were like normal, like high school prom or something like that, like I was working and I was doing these things that were like so bad, but I knew that it was like the path to like a brighter future.
Wow.
It was
That's so smart. I mean, really.
funny is like I look back and I'm like, man, I can't believe I did that. And even though I was just like kind of this like weird like stoner arty kid, like I knew somehow that that would be like a path to like a better future. So I did all these things like, I was getting coffee at radio stations and like selling like band merch out of like vans and stuff like that. And it was really fun. Like it's easier to do that type of stuff when you're obviously like really young. But after like 5 years of those probably like 20 some odd jobs that I was doing, I got a job at Universal Music Group as like in the mailroom. When they still had a Detroit office, which obviously they do not any longer. But
Right.
at the time they had like branches all over the country that like were the regional offices.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like, I did everything I can to get that job. Like I was literally like sleeping in my car. I had like a bunch of friends that would let me sleep on their couch at the time. And then I finally got this job and it was like the best day of my entire life. And we're giving you $20,000 to do this. And I was like, I am so rich. I literally thought I was like MTV Cribs, here I come,
I love it, but
I
you
had to
did
realize
it.
it was like nothing, right? So yeah, I really thought that I made it. But then they ended up shutting down the office in Detroit, which of course I thought was like the end of my life. But then it ended up being like truly like the beginning of my life. And I got to move to LA, which is where I still live. And that was in 2007. And I started working with all these people that were in the beginning of their careers, but like they were seeing like all the success and they were young. And I was working with people like Taylor Swift and Kanye and Rihanna and The Killers and Lady Gaga and The Weeknd, like all these people that are now huge superstars. And I was like seeing the ascent and it was so inspiring. And it was like at the time, like I still was super broke. I was making like 24 grand a year in LA, which is,
Wow.
basically impossible to live.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with five other
Well,
people.
what you do, let me tell you, is you have
Okay.
five roommates.
There you go. That's what I just said.
You live in
Yep.
the valley.
Yeah.
And basically you just like eat rice and like chicken and stuff. But it was funny because I was so happy even though I was so broke, because I was like living this incredible life of like going to all these shows every night and like meeting all these cool people that like I never thought that I you know, I like dreamed about this stuff when I was a kid. Like I went to like movie premieres and the Grammys and everything. So even though I was like so broke, I was like really happy, and I was finally seeing like, if I work hard and I like have my dreams and I visualize my dreams and I like actually, you know, manifest this stuff, like it can actually happen, like to anyone. And I don't like, I wasn't special in any way, but I like ended up being able to follow this huge dream. So one day I was at my office in at Universal City, and I saw this video that was on the internet about this woman hearing for the first time, and she was like around the same age as me. And it was just like this moment of like I was looking at her and thinking like, I can't even imagine like what my life would have been without music and without sound. And it honestly, like this just little YouTube video like totally changed my life again. And it gave me this idea of like, what if I could give somebody hearing for the first time? Like that would be the coolest thing ever. Like just one person. It's like, but I don't really have any money, and I don't know anyone that is doing anything like this. So I ended up sending this video to my friend Joe, who at the time was like building schools in Guatemala. And he was the only person that I knew that like had anything to do with philanthropy, because I didn't know a lot of people that could like give money to charities or like give their time or anything. So I sent this to him and I told him like my idea. I was like, let's start a company that makes headphones and speakers and like regular audio products that anybody can use, and that gives the proceeds to giving people hearing for the first time. And I literally thought, like at the time, I was like, we're gonna maybe give like a couple people hearing, and like that's gonna be awesome, you know?
Yeah.
That's the big dream. And I thought about it and I visualized it and I was like, this is what's gonna happen. And I don't know why I was like so confident, because it's literally competing in the space with like Apple and Sony and, you know, Beats and like all these huge companies that like I didn't have anything. All I had was, I had this 401k at Universal that was worth $5,000. So I cashed out the $5,000. And Joe and I'm not kidding, like high-fived with no business plan, nothing, went to China with the 5 grand, and we sourced products for what is now Listen, which is our headphone and speaker company. So long
Incredible.
story short, we've for the last 10 years, we've traveled the world. We've given over 50,000 kids hearing for the first time,
Wow.
which has been the craziest experience of my life. And through this like roller coaster, like it's not all positive. Like there was definitely a lot of ups and downs. And we never like, you know, got rich off of this. We never sold the company. We never became like Dr. Dre or something like that. But what we did do is like so worth so much more than any of that stuff. You know, it's just so fulfilling. And there was this moment that where I was on these like, you know, kind of silly little lists like the Forbes and Inc. 30 Under 30. And if you know anything about those, I mean, it's like they're not really real, like I would say. But so I was on these lists and I was like so proud of it and I thought it was awesome. But I was like, there's no way that I belong on these lists, right? Like I had major imposter syndrome, because I was like, unless they met 30 people with like less than $30 in their bank account. I don't know what you're talking about, but so it's funny, in that moment I had all these people reaching out like from my hometown and from you know, people that I had met over the years and being like, wow, you guys are like really killing it and like you must be like getting so rich. And I would always respond with, well, not really, we're actually giving all of our money away, but we consider ourselves experiential billionaires. So that's where the title of the book came
And
from.
it's true. It's true. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
you were, because like it reminded me, like even when you were describing your life in your music career, it reminded me of those commercials for Visa or whatever they were, where they were like, you know, listing all the things off, and then they're like, this experience priceless, right? And I
Yes.
mean, how do you put a value on that? And you were having all those things that added so much value to your salary. I mean, like you say, 24,000 or whatever, but like if you totaled that up, I mean, people are paying, let's say you ha we're at a dinner where Lady Gaga's there, you know, that's like, even back then, I'm sure is you know, so thousands of dollars, right? And or how do you put a value on it? And so, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we can't put a value on these experiences. So you literally.
I mean, the fact that we got to see all of these corners of the world that most people never see, and like, in, you know, some of the quote unquote worst places on earth, some of the best places on earth. Like, we got to meet 50,000 kids that like their life was changed like in one day. Like, that's the coolest thing ever. And like, I can't, there's no monetary value for that. Like, to me, that's worth more than any, like, I would rather have had that experience than any amount of money in the entire world. And, you know, that's what kind of led us to like writing this book, is that we want, you know, we want everyone to like go after the experiences that they really want in life, and not to be held back by, you know, things like fear or excuses or, you know, discomfort or something like that, because there really can be that moment where you're like, I feel truly rich in life, and there's no amount of money that could compete with that. But we're just taught, you know, in school and whatnot, growing up, that like money is the most important thing, but it's really not. And I'm not like anti-money, like I love money, but it's not something that drives me to like, to get to like my purpose or get to like what I really want out of life.
Right, right. It's not the end goal. And I know some billionaires, and one of the things that they always said years ago was just, oh, we're all about experiences. So, I mean, even if you get there, you're still about the experiences. Totally. Like, even if someone gave you.
That's really funny. I've met the richest people on earth, and like some of them are miserable, right? And then I've met the poorest people on earth, and some of them are super happy. And that's not to romanticize, like, you know, being in poverty is horrible, of course, but like there can be like joy no matter where you are on the monetary scale. And that's like kind of where we want to, like, you know, what we want to get across.
Yeah. And it's that, that shift in perspective, you know, like, are you doing something that you love, like you were with the music? And then, you know, are you in service to other people? Because that's so rewarding. And if you've never done it, then you don't know, right? I mean, were you kind of astonished, like, oh my God, this is, even when you were dreaming of it, like, oh, how cool would it be to give someone hearing? And then you probably did it, and it probably, like, here was what you thought it was going to be, and then way up here was like the actual.
I mean, the first time, I literally will never forget, like, just that moment of like a year prior, I was like looking at this video on YouTube. And then a year after that, like, I was on the ground in Peru. Like, I met this kid named Maria, and it was like, you know, her parents had like heard of this mission that we were doing, and they like traveled for like 2 days across Peru. And like, just to get here, just for like that chance, because like, she said that, you know, she was, I don't know, maybe like 12, and she was like getting bullied and stuff because she couldn't hear. And she's like, all I want is in life is to like be like the other kids and feel like I fit in and connect with people. And like, so she's like sitting down in this chair, and her parents are telling me this. And then like, all I did was like, you know, put hearing aids in, and like her face just like lit up, and like, I knew that it was going to work. And that moment I was like, this is my purpose, and I love what I'm doing. And like, it inspired me to, like, you know, continue through all these ups and downs in life. And it was an amazing moment.
I can feel that in my heart. Like, that's so, it's so powerful. And it's easy to forget, kind of, or just not even realize so many times. And it's, I've had that shift in my own life, and I suddenly feel like, oh, now I turned 50, and now after that, I'm like, oh, I'm looking forward to more service and more like figuring out ways to help people. Because I hear you say that, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? You know, like, or why, like, what am I not thinking of that, you know, we could be led to have this amazing experience? And not only that, you were like traveling and seeing all these different cultures at the same time.
Oh, it was amazing. Like, everywhere we went, we tried to really like embrace the local, you know, history and like learn about it. And that's what really, like, you know, giving hearing all day long for like 1,000 people is really physically hard. I know that doesn't sound like it, and it's like emotionally hard, because 1 out of every 10 people can't hear no matter what you do, right? So it's like, you're the It's like being that person that has to tell them no, and it's
Oh.
really, really hard. So we would always try to like lighten it and like bookend the trips with like really fun things. Like we went on a safari and we did like we learned how to like we trained it with like these samurai guys in Japan, and we did like we went like beekeeping and we like just all these like weird things. Like we're in Sri Lanka and we went and like just did this trip to like the beach and like did all these like fun experiences. But we were always like trying to do like, weird, random, fun stuff just to like make it a little bit lighter. We went gorilla trekking in Rwanda, which was awesome.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I
Yeah,
want to
just
do that. I want to do that.
oh,
Sick.
yeah, I feel like you guys will definitely do that.
We will. We haven't seen the gorillas yet, but they're in Uganda too, so that's definitely on the list. So, well, on the book, on the back, it says the art, science, and path to building a life rich in experiences. So can you kind of cover like what each of those means and what you're advising people on in this?
Sure. So the science, so we actually did this huge study while we were writing the book, and it was so eye-opening and mind-blowing to me, and that really like inspired me to get the book done and get it out for people to read this stuff. Because so we asked 20,000 people. We literally interviewed 20,000 people.
Like yourselves, you interviewed 20,000
Well, a
people.
lot of it was in person. Like we started with our friends and family, and then we went bigger. We went to retirement homes, and we were talking to a lot of elderly people, which was
Wow.
very cool and really gave me like a lot of perspective in my life. And then obviously, I can't sit down with 20,000 people because that would have taken like 100 years. But we did a lot of it online, and like people just got really real with us and like told us like what their biggest regrets in life were, like what the most valuable experience of their life was, which, as I'm sure you can tell, it's not something that's monetary. It's
Yeah,
like
it's not like buying my Porsche, you know?
there were some other really cool questions. Like one of my favorite questions was like what was your favorite thing to do as a kid? And do you still do it, and why not? Because a part of our book is about like playing and about like how to like take out that inner child, and like a lot of those experiences like kind of get shut down when you're young, and then a lot of adults don't, do those fun things anymore. But so we got to ask all these people all these like deep questions and like what they really valued, like, and I think maybe most importantly, the question was like, why didn't you do the things that you wanted to do? And this was like geared mostly towards like the older people. So they would tell us like, I always wanted to do X, and we would say, why didn't you? And those answers were like really the most important parts of the book, because the most of people would say something like, I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
It's like, why? These are the most important things in your life that you always wanted to do, and you just kept pushing off to this like fictional someday. And it turns out that like someday is not a day on the calendar, and everyone has like an expiration date. And so the book is really taking this concept of like figure out what you want out of your life, like, write down everything that you want, and then we take the reader through like a path. And so, okay, now you are aware of what you want. Now you should be aware of urgency and that life is short. And everybody says that. Everyone says like YOLO and whatever. But like, really, people don't internalize this stuff. Death isn't really talked about a lot in the Western culture, especially. So the first exercise we make people do is we go through the Memento Mori chart, which is like, I'm sure you're familiar. It's 76 boxes, and you check off like how many boxes you've already lived. And 76 is the number because that's the average American lifespan. It's a little bit higher for women, a little bit less for men, but yeah, so 76 boxes. So then you like take the boxes that you have left, and you're like, okay, what am I going to do with this? Let's be really intentional. Like say you have kids, and like they're 14 and you're like, okay, so now I only have 4 years when they're in the house still, like, you know, on average.
Yeah, that's for real. I have a 14-year-old and I have an 18-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I really had some moments like that where I was like, this is just super sobering. I was like, oh shit, this is it. This is it.
Yeah, we bring people into that sobriety like right away.
That's so, it's so crucial. It's so important because we just tend to just go through the motions in our daily lives and then suddenly it's here.
Yeah. And so like, say your 14-year-old is like, you ask them like, what do you really want to do? And they say something like, I want to see all 50 states or like just some crazy, like big goal. Right. And you're like, okay, but I can't wait to do that. I have to do that now. I have to start planning that now. So like, let's go like on a road trip, like, you know, this summer and like not wait. So we're like trying to help people like find that urgency to do the things they want to do now and not wait because time is undefeated, you know? So,
yeah. Well, your story is such a good example of finding a way because then we start going, well, okay, to travel 50 states, I got to pay for this and this. And, you know, it's like this whole, like that holds us back. That pushes us into the not getting around to it. Or at least in my experience, you know, and like listening to you talk, you just go, no, I'm going to find a way. And it's that find a way attitude, that shift.
100%. Because at the end of the day, there's no excuse. You know, it's like, I've met, you know, at this point, we've talked to thousands of people that are elderly and it's always like, they just regret the things they didn't do. And now they don't have time to do it. And now they don't have the physical ability to do a lot of these things, you know, like a lot of people be like, oh, I want to travel and whatever. It's like, but when you're like 80, like, do you really want to do that? Like that's,
I know stairs are hard when you're 80, yeah. I think. So I was like, you know,
I'm like, that's cool if you do like, and you're still physically able, but most people aren't, like, that's the reality, you know?
And yeah. Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure. With more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells. And it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal.
They have a ton of other products too. Magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Did you know that according to a study, 87% of women who have hair extensions lie about having them? And almost two-thirds of women have done some kind of hair extension at some point. So if you do the math, it's a lot. This show is all about letting go of judgment. So if you don't want to tell, I'm not going to judge you. And if you want to know the best secret for hair extensions anywhere around, it's right here in Austin, Texas at The Collective ATX. They have the most natural, lightweight, comfortable hair on the market, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods, which I've tried. I've tried them all. And I didn't even know that your hair is automatically damaged if the extensions are placed anywhere below your ears. Crazy, right? My hair is actually growing in and getting healthier now too. Plus, they keep all their extensions in-house, meaning that you don't have to wait at all. Not to mention color. I'm so picky, I did it myself for years because no one can get it right until now. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX. Link is in the show notes. Tell them I sent you.
Jason, hair extensions, Tipsy.
Tipsy does not.
You know, it's a lot of, we think a lot about this concept of, you know, doing the things you want to do before you die and all that, because nobody thinks about, you know, money when they're on their deathbeds. They're not like asking to see their wallet one last time when they're in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Like no one like at your funeral is going to be like, oh, I loved Bob. He was wealthy, you know, like stocks he invested in made him so interesting. Like they're going to talk about like what Bob did, right? Like his wife is going to be like, oh my God, I loved watching the sunset with him every night and like having a glass of wine. Or like his kids are going to talk about how he took them to national parks, or, you know, they played softball together or whatever it is. You know, it's always like an experience and it's always a relationship. It's never like, oh, I really like that time I got the raise. It was just so great.
You're so right. Well, so what's the art to it? Because if you say it's an art to building a life and experiences, what would that look like?
Sure. So I think the art is like figuring out what the individual wants. And I think I look at like the art is like your life story. And so my stories in the book, the stories in the book are examples, and we are in the absolutely no way saying live the life that we lived. like I don't care if you have the same purpose or if you do the same things as me, like that's not at all what I want. What I want is like for you to create your own art and create your own life story. So when you look back and when you're old, you'll be like, I'm so glad that I did those things. And I have like crazy stories, right? Like I like people that have like crazy stories. No one likes the people that are like, oh, you know, I had a pretty boring life and I watched Netflix every day. Like, like create the art, create your own life story. And like, that's what it's really about. And it's different for every single person. You know, not everyone wants to travel the world and give hearing, but everyone wants to do something. And so the path is trying to help these people figure out what they want, and then get past the excuses, get past the, you know, whatever reason they have, which is always the same reasons. It's always, I don't have time. Well, you know, if it's the thing that you want the most in life, then you do have time.
Yeah. Yeah. You do. I agree. I did this branding exercise thing a few years back that Donald Miller puts out, and His book's so great. I can't think of the name of it right now, but he leads you through these branding exercises, and he says, you know, you have to find a villain in your branding and like what you're up against. And I was like, well, fear. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, and it can't be fear. It can't be an emotion. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. What am I really talking about? And because like what you just said, like really speaks to my heart. That's what I'm always talking about. Like, go for it now. Like, you know, what are you not doing and that you're dreaming of at any age? And so the more I got to thinking about it, the more I was like, you know, it's time. And then I was like, it's the Grim Reaper. It's this, this looming, you know, clock that is there tick-tocking away. And so what are you going to do with that? And that just, I don't know, that just came up and reminded me
so of true. That. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people think about it that way. And I think that's a huge problem in our society. It's like, it's always like, this is such like the typical response. And I've been guilty of this too. Everyone is guilty of this, but saying something like, oh, I'll do this, insert dream here. I'll do this dream when, you know, the kids are older, or when I get a raise at work, or when I, you know, graduate from, you know, get my MBA, or when I like, you know, just insert thing here, when I retire. It's like, okay, so you're going to wait your whole life to do the things that you want to do. Like, I don't think that that's the way to live. And so we're trying to have people like not have that mindset of like the someday syndrome, which is what we call it in the book.
And yeah.
And you're so right. It's just like the time is the enemy, you know? So how are you going to spend mm-hmm. the most intentionally that you can?
We're so conditioned that way, I think, because I'm noticing it in myself. In January, a friend was like, she plans these big trips as an influencer, and then they bring people on or whatever. And I just love her and her husband, Bonnie Schroeder, if anybody's listening and wants to check it out. And Bonnie. So she, you know, Bonnie?
No.
Okay. And she tells me in January, she's like, oh, I said, what trips are coming up? Cause they're always so cool. And she was like listing them. And she was like, in December we have Egypt. And I was like, I'm dying to go. I've been dying to go basically my whole life. And I was like, I want to go. And I literally signed us up right then. Right. I paid the deposit. Cause she was like, there's still space, 5 spaces. Right. So it's coming up really soon on December 2nd. And I have been having all these regrets and worries and everything coming up around it. It's a big trip, and it seems so extravagant. And even though it's something that I've totally dreamed of, I have a tattoo of a pyramid on me, because like that's so cool. How I go. And instead, I'm like, Justin, I think this was a mistake. I don't think we should have signed up. I don't think we should be spending the money. I don't know if we can take the time. Like, I'm finding my brain is searching for every excuse not to. And I'm just kind of astonished, like when I step outside myself a little bit and go, wow, like I'm really trying to hold myself back here. And I mean, do you think we're just conditioned that way from the way our society works, or what do you think that?
Because you don't think it's, well, first of all, I want to say like, so I was, that was my goal for 2023, is to see the pyramids. And I did.
You did? Oh yeah. You'll have to give us any tips that you've got.
Absolutely love it. It was awesome. It was like such a cool trip, and it's not like an easy trip, you know, and you're right. And it's hard to do things like that. It's so far, it's not like, you know, the nicest whatever, but it was like amazing. And I will always remember that, you know, it's mm-hmm. like memory in my life now. So yeah, I do think that we're very conditioned to not believe that we deserve those things or not. You know, when you see someone that doing something like that, like a big thing, like going to the pyramids, you're like, oh, that would be so cool if I could do that. It's like, mm-hmm. well, can do that.
They exist, you exist.
Yeah, like those people aren't any better than, right? Like they're right. just normal people. Maybe they have more money than you, maybe they have more, you know, time or whatever, but like at the end of the day, that stuff is just an excuse, and like you can figure it out if it's the one thing that you really want to do. And so I'm happy that you guys are going. That sounds awesome. I'm jealous.
But what do you think that is that like makes all those people say, when I'll get around to it, that made me think those thoughts? Like, do you think there's something in the way that our psychology works, our brains work? Are we societally conditioned? Like, what do you think that really, the root of that is, and I'm sure it's different for a lot of people, but is there something overarching in our society that you can point to and go like, ah, you know what, we've been doing this for 200 years or whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's 100, maybe not 100%, but close to 100%. Everything is based in love or fear is how I like think of things. But I think fear is the number one driver in everything. And if you look at any problem and you go underneath the layers, you're going to find some fear, like maybe like three or four layers down. You should be like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, or I don't really want to do this, or I have, you know, even if someone says like time or money is their excuse, I think fear is always the underlying thing. And and we're just conditioned in this world. I mean, look at like the news. It's like everything is so negative and everything is so like scary. You know?
Oh, it's always like right now is the worst time in history ever. And you're like, I hate it. They said that like 10 years ago.
They say that every day.
I'm
like, it's really not. Like, there are bad things happening. Obviously, there's terrible things happening right now. But in most places, most people, whatever, we have a chapter in the book about this, actually, about how like if you just expose yourself to new things and new people and new cultures, things will become less scary and you'll be able to do more things that you never thought you could before, because you were like, oh, that's like the other, you know?
Like, I've been kind of going through that in my own mind right now. Like, no matter what it is, I'm like, it's just people. It's just a person. It's just a person. Like, and I've been like pulling myself back to that lately. And I'm like, oh yeah, your taxes. Well, you know, it is the IRS, but really I'm just dealing with a person right now, like my accountant, figuring it out. Then you talk to the next person, you know, and it's just like, it's a person.
I love that. I'm myself that when I get caught up in stuff like that. But I definitely like, I mean, I can't tell you like how many times I've been going somewhere and like someone will say like, aren't you scared? I'm like, no, like you're just going to a new place where like people live. It's not a necessarily scary just because it's different, right? It's just different. It's like, there's other people that have, you know, we're still 99% the same, no matter where you are. So.
And most of the time that scariness is our fear taking us out of the present moment, you know, rather than like really just being grounded in what's happening at this very moment. It's handleable. You know, it's like
funny, like I went to so on my Egypt trip, I did India and Egypt in one like long, like month long trip.
Wow.
And a lot of people were like, oh my God, aren't you like scared? I was working in like the slums in India and people were like, oh my God, that's so scary. Like literally, I can't tell you how safe I felt, how nice every single person was, how kind people were and grateful. And like, it was just so beautiful. And I write about this in the book about how, like, I think it's really easy to get scared of people that are like, you know, you don't understand or whatever, but you can find all this beauty in the world by just being open to these experiences.
Yeah. And the more that you do them, the more you're going to train your brain to be in that space of love rather than fear. Yeah. You're not going to be operating from that other space of I'll get around to it. And then your brain searches, like me, my brain searched for every reason why not to go, or we're still going, but you know, like you're training your brain.
It's funny. Yeah. We have actually in the book, we have a whole section about the science between of fear and like how you just have to like retrain that brain. And like, no one's ever not going to be scared, right? Like of anything, like I'm
sure
things, but like, I can see the reasoning behind being scared and I can see how I can get around being scared now. And I think that's really helpful for people.
Yeah. It gives you that way to step outside yourself a little bit more and just be like, oh, I know this. I've done this before, and you can see the path around. And speaking of paths, then you've got your treasure maps. Yeah. And you like that little segue there. It's a deck of thought experiments and exercises to identify, rediscover, and execute on your personal dreams and goals. So I love that. I'm like so into like practical ways we can do it. And this has a ton of really cool exercises in here. I've had fun just flipping through it. Like one of them was write two obituaries and, you know, Where did that one go? I was gonna point that one out. And imagine your funeral and who will be there. I had to do this once in college. I took a class on death, and it was so helpful to me because it really, like, it was called Death in America, actually. And so it really made me write my own obituary. It made me, like, think about some things that, like, that urgency, right?
And this I love that you took that. So funny that you took that class. I always say that I wish that they had classes like that. And I've never heard anyone say that they did.
It was literally the, like, I think the best class I took in college. I reference it more than anything else. It was called Death in America. And we just, like, just talked about, we touched on, you know, how other cultures do it, but we really talked about us, and we have a pretty fucked up way of dealing with death. That's for sure. And so, like, these exercises are, there's some things in here that we did, and I'm like, that's so valuable, and things that will, people will put off and be like, I didn't get around to imagining my funeral. It's like, yeah, my Netflix, like, show.
I love that exercise. And then in the book, I also write about my, quote, fantasy funeral.
I love it. Oh my God. Yes.
I really want you to read that story because, like, I had fun with it, of course, because I'm, like, not that serious sometimes, but, like, I wrote all these things, like I want to play, like, the final countdown. I want to serve, like, wine and pizza, and, like, I want it to
hell
be,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
and, like, I want someone to, like, send my ashes off, like, on my surfboard.
This sounds great. Wow.
Like take my phone afterward and, like, text everyone and, like, thank you for coming.
Yes. Oh, but my God.
Like, that, like, even though it's, like, funny, it's like, that was really helpful for me to, like, envision. And I actually did a similar exercise, like, in my work life. Early on, I would do, like, kind of like a future resume, like, you kind of, like, you would do a future obituary, right? It's like, what do I want it to look like in, you know, 20 years or whatever? Like, what do I want my career, like, resume to say? And I think that, like, the obituary is kind of like the life resume, right? So you want your life resume to have all these cool things, but if you don't start now, it's not going to be on there.
Oh my God, this is a brilliant idea. I mean, I've talked about, like, we've talked vision boards, I've talked about audio vision boards, but, like, a future resume and like your dream funeral? This is, I mean, so good. Is that one of your favorite exercises? Like, what exercises have pushed you the furthest and really made the most difference to you?
I think that one has made a huge difference. And then, so the treasure map exercise specifically is, like, that was probably one of the first things I did. And that's, like, you know, imagine your doctor calls you, right? And they're like, sit down, we've got some serious news. You're like, okay. And they're like, you have 1 year left to live. And suddenly your time is, like, finite, right? It's like, instead of having, like, this, you know, maybe forever, I'll do this someday. You can't do things someday. You have to do it now. So, like, what are the things that you would do now? And we take people through this exercise quite a bit, like, at corporations and at schools and stuff like this. So they write down, like, the top things that they would do if they had a year left to live. And then we go through, okay, what if you had 30 days? What if you had 24 hours? And then the really important part of the exercise is obviously figuring out what you would do, but B, it's looking at these three lists and putting an asterisk next to the ones that you're currently working on. And that really makes people, like, snap out of it. I mean, once they see that there's usually zero,
there's none. Thing, yeah.
And it's literally zero or one thing, like, every single time. And they're like, oh, like, I, you know, a lot of people say stuff like, I want to move to, like, more nature because I love nature. So I would spend my last year living in nature. It's like, why don't you try to do that now? Or it's like, I would call my mom.
Oh my God.
And it's like, you can do that right now. I mean, not everyone can, obviously. But, you know, with parents that are still alive, like, you could call them today. One of the biggest regrets is not keeping in touch with friends. And I think that this is really important to me. I think about this all the time because a lot of people's responses in this treasure map exercise will be like, I'll reach out to this person that I went to college with or that, you know, I, you know, insert X experience with and that we just lost touch. I was like, you can do that today. And so we kind of try to help people like reach out to people that they haven't talked to in a long time, because that's definitely something that's free, and it's going to be something that you regret later on. So if you can just take away those little regrets, like, it'll just make me feel so much better.
That's so interesting. What a cool point to make, is that so many of these regrets are things that we can actually remedy with very little, you know, extra stuff. It's like, oh, literally just pick up your phone and I mean, Facebook, you know, like, and so, I mean, that's so interesting, because I think that, you know, when you were talking about surveying people in the old folks' home, retirement centers, or whatever it is, I was just thinking about bigger things, and here they are, probably a lot of them probably had regrets about falling out of touch with people. And it's like,
my gosh, I mean, especially still do that with the older people, you know, it's like a lot of these people went through these really crazy experiences in their life, like going through war or going through, you know, like stuff like that. And it's like, oh, like, I wish that I could, like, you know, just one more time, like, talk to like my friends from the army. It's like, God, that's just so like heart-wrenching. And like, it's probably something that you could do, maybe not with everyone, but like with a few of your friends or whatever. It's like, ugh.
I think so.
Keep in contact with people, you know, then, and now it's so easy to find people and to like just reach out, and it's free and it's easy. It's like, it's, even if you don't get in touch with everyone, I think one thing that every single person that's like listening to this can do today is just write down one person that you want to reconnect with and try to reach out.
Yeah. So easy. I've been trying to make a little list of those every week or something like that. If someone pops in my head, I try to write it down. And then just, even if you just reach out to one person a week, you know, then like you're really making that effort, because sometimes you can get caught up in like, no one's reaching out to me, or I'm like, do I have any friends? and you know, just like putting that out really like gets that momentum going of energy, and that you're interested in it. And then you're magnetizing it back to you. You know, we haven't really talked about that part of it, which I'm curious about, is that there's so much talk. I feel like it's been hot, you know, the manifesting technique of manifesting wealth, monetary wealth, by living it already. And I'm wondering, like, what do you feel when you hear that? Do you go like,
I do believe in manifestation, but I think for me personally, and this is just my opinion, but I think for me, I'm like a little bit more practical in a lot of ways. And I'm like, you have to actually put the steps towards that. You can't just think about it. Like, I think all the stuff that happened, like, I don't know, when The Secret was written, maybe like 15, 20 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's really cool, and I believe in that type of attraction. But also, you've got to like put in the work, right? Like, there's no one's gonna book that plane ticket for you. no one's gonna like go to school for you. No one's gonna like do, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. Like, it's not just gonna magically come to you, probably, most likely. So you have to actually take the small steps towards that goal. And then if you're like attracting that energy and you're getting inspired by all these small steps, then it's way more likely. And it does seem like manifestation a lot of the time, right? But with wealth, I mean, I don't know. I think it's really hard to make a lot of money, but if you can manifest that, then good for you. And that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is that thing of like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And once you start showing up and showing that you're going to take action on these, then I feel like the ball of energy starts rolling. And so things just,
you got to set it forward, right? Like, you can't sit there on your couch and be like, someday I want to travel the world. It's like, okay, if you just take those steps, and then once the ball starts rolling, it's like, okay, now I can't not do this. Right.
I mean, if that were the case, that you could just sit on your couch and think that, then those people in the homes wouldn't have those regrets, right? So, because clearly they've been thinking about it, right? So, you know, it's about just the actions that you take, which I love the treasure maps. What's on your resume now that you haven't done yet?
Oof.
On your dream resume, excuse me.
I mean, I think, honestly, number one, I would love to fall in love again. That's like,
oh, that's nice.
that's something that I am pretty like intentionally going after at the moment is, you know, just dating or trying to find that person. And like, I would love to have a family, all that stuff. Like, I think that's that, that's like, you know, the wealth of life is, you know, finding that stuff. But as far as like adventures and stuff go, I would say I would love to go to Antarctica. I think that that would
be
and right, it's one of those trips that's like a really big expense. It's a really big commitment, but it would be so cool. And you just don't really know how long that stuff is going to be viable for. So that's definitely on the list. I'd love to like hike Patagonia. I think that that would be super cool. As far as like, so I actually already wrote out some goals for like 2024. One of my goals, which is very scary, is to do a stand-up comedy set.
Oh shit, that's one of the scariest things I can think of.
Same, and everyone says that.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, I have to do it because it's scary, but also because I love comedy. And like, I've always loved comedy. Like, it was always like music and comedy were like equal to me in terms of, I think comedians are just so brilliant and they're like the philosophers of our time. You know, it's like, God, they're just so good. And they make it look so effortless. And I think that's so cool.
They
and,
really do. They make anybody think that they can do it. And no,
yeah,
they're not. I've been to enough Kill Tony shows. I know that they cannot.
Exactly. So that's like on my list. You know, right now I love what I'm doing. So I'm super happy with like speaking to people and, you know, speaking to corporations, speaking to universities. And that's like definitely on my life resume right now is just to do that as much as I can. Cause when somebody comes to me afterward, it's like, oh, I never thought about this way. I'm going to take my dad on this trip. I'm going to, you know, take my kid and do this. I'm going to teach my, you know, my boyfriend how to do this or whatever, like whatever it is, like that fills my cup and it makes me feel really good. And I love to have that like little ripple effect on people's lives.
Absolutely. I mean, that's like that fulfilling dream. Are you in love with yourself and your life?
I do love myself. It's funny. I've been, like single and like dating for a couple of years. And in that time, I've really fell in love with like myself. And I feel like before that I wasn't really, because I was like seeking, you know, that from other people. And I don't feel that way anymore. Like, I think that anyone that's in my life now or being added to my life is just like a positive addition, and I can be positive to them and they can be to me, but it's not like, I'm not going to hate myself if they don't love me.
That's kind of what I was getting at, you know, since I knew you were dating, and that was the same progression for me. I learned to fall in love with myself so much more, and it was of such value. And then you're just like that. And that's the paradox again of like, oh, and now that's just such a beautiful energy that you're putting out. And then people are like, oh, I'm attracted, you know?
Yeah, and now so, you have like the most beautiful relationship. I just love, I love when Justin posts and stuff. It's just so cute. You guys are the cutest.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you. It takes practice though. It's a practice again, just like these treasure maps, just like life, you know, it's all a practice, and the self-love is too. Like, I have to focus on staying in love with myself in order to keep our relationship really like shining. And I'm like, right. It's such a funny thing that seems backwards.
Yeah. And like we have a whole section in the book about relationships and how like novel experiences really are like the key to keeping relationships alive. And like everybody kind of knows that in the back of their head. They're like, well, if I'm just in a routine every single day, things are going to get boring, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't actually act on that. And so I think that you guys are doing a good job at like having these like new fun experiences and like going to the pyramids. Like, that's so awesome. And like that will like keep things like, you know, amazing forever. Even if it doesn't have to be that big of a thing, right? It doesn't have
to be. No, certainly not.
It can be like a pizza at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You sure can. And so thank you. What did we miss today? What is there anything that we didn't get to, or anything that just came up for you that you feel like you really want to share or reiterate today?
I think like one really random thing that I just thought of that we didn't talk about is like lifelong learning and how important that is to like living a fulfilling life you know, when we did the survey, we asked people like what they wanted to do. And a lot of these answers were like, I want to learn how to play guitar, or I want to learn how to speak Spanish, or I want to, you know, learn how to paint. It's like, okay, all of those things are free or cheap. So it's not a monetary thing, right? But we're kind of like raised with learning new stuff. And then once we like hit adulthood, we're like not, like most people don't even like read, right?
Right.
So I think I want to emphasize like the importance of like, if you want to learn something and you're an adult, like go for it. And you don't have to be afraid that like you're a beginner or that you're going to look dumb. Like people will be like admiring you for trying something new, and maybe you inspire them to follow their own passions and like learn how to, you know, play piano or whatever it is. And there's like a really negative stigma around like beginnerhood, and there doesn't need to be. So
I couldn't agree more. I mean, as somebody who took up the guitar at 40 years old, I totally agree. And it's getting over, really, we impose the stigma on ourselves, in my experience, because from the outside looking in, most of the time people say, that is so cool.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know where we just have this fear of looking stupid. And once you break through that, anything's possible.
I agree. Yeah. Like I like to tell the story about how I lived in LA for 14 years before I tried surfing. And now I love surfing and I'm not good at it, right? Like but I love it and it's fulfilling and it's something that I want to get better at, but I don't not do it because I'm not good at it. And the reason why I didn't do it for 14 years is because I thought people would think I was stupid because I wasn't good at it. Truth is that nobody cares.
Right. Nobody cares. And actually, if anything, they care the other way. Like, oh, maybe I should go try whatever it is that I'm thinking.
Oh my God.
Trying.
I've had so many people like message me on Instagram. Like if I post a picture of surfing or something, but, oh, I always wanted to do that. Like, well, come with me this Saturday, you know, like, and then you forge these bonds with people that maybe you haven't seen in a long time or whatever. And it's so important to like infuse these like new learning experiences into your life.
Yeah. I mean, I've had people younger than me say, oh, I wish I'd played guitar. And I'm like, I'm literally, what's stopping you? Like, I mean, like pick one up. And I know, I totally agree. And I think it's a big key to youthfulness as well, is that sense of, because you said we do it younger and then we enter adulthood and it's like, okay, you know,
that's like everyone's excuse too. Like, oh, I'm too old to do this. Like,
yeah.
Are you still alive? Are you still breathing? You're still physically able. Like I'm pretty sure you can pick up a guitar. Like it's not that.
Right. 100%. So I'm so glad you brought that up because that's it. And while we're still, you know, find that sense of urgency, whatever it takes. And I would encourage everyone to pick up your book and your really beautiful deck, by the way. Can I just say, both your book and your deck are really, really just, they feel good, feel like, you know, like quality. Like your book too, just feels really, it's really nice and really pretty. And like, I mean, look at the hardback.
Well, thank you so much. Cause I love like art and branding and like beauty and design. And like, it was really important to us to like have that.
It shows. If anybody's just listening, like the hardback, I'll put a picture of it on social media, but the hardback is like a sort of a blocky colors with a path. It's really just really pretty.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well done.
I had a publisher before and they told us to not do that. And I was like, no, I want to do that. And then they, long story short, they ended up going out of business, but I'm not going to get into that. But basically the story was that it wasn't supposed to be that hardcover. It was supposed to be like a regular color. And then I was like, no, I really want this because it looks so cool.
It really does look cool. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Look, everybody. See it. Let me, if anybody's watching, look on the video and like, look how pretty that is. So cool. Yeah. So anyway, well, I am appreciating it right now. So, how can everybody pick one of these up? I'm going to put everything in the show notes as well, but could you share how they can follow you, how they can see everything that you're doing and maybe even book you to come speak and all that?
So my personal site is bridgethilton.com. Then we have experientialbillionaire.com. And of course it's available on Amazon as well. So.
And again, I'll have all the links in the show notes. And I thank you so much. This was such a beautiful conversation and just, it's so fucking important. I
totally agree.
Yeah.
I just love what you're doing. I love what Justin's doing. So just, you know, keep it up. You guys are killing it.
Thank you. And I found your founding of Listen so inspiring. And I really am longing to create more ways of service for myself and for others, and making a difference in other people's lives is such a focus for me. So thank you for that inspiration too. So really, really badass. So yeah. Thank you so much, Bridget, and everybody follow Bridget. And thank you so much for being here. If you haven't signed up for my newsletter, please do. It's at amyedwards.info, or you can just hit me up on social media, follow me at Real Amy Edwards. And thank you so much for being here. And just remember, you know, it's all about taking those leaps, whether it's a stand-up comedy show, whether it's surfing, whether it's taking that trip, whether it's just picking up your phone and reaching out to one person. I mean, I feel like I've had a thread through some shows recently where it is talking about just these really simple things that we put off and put off and why. There's no need to do it. You can do it today. What can you do today? I would love to hear from you and know, you know, what you did. Tell me. I'm here to cheer you on, and I bet Bridget is too. So thank you so much for being here. I love you so much. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.